Yes, we're now listening to the sound of Sports Reports as Ordered. And those sounds are brought to you by the one and only, world famous, the world renowned. He was born in Texas, raised in PA, representing New Jerusalem and everything about it. To the point that he said, Jersey had their own tea party at Princeton University. They broke into the damn storage room and threw all the tea out, but it didn't make the news because New Jersey was too small market. He is Mr. Logical. Don't bring feelings to a fact fight.
Don't do it. Yeah, New Jersey tea party didn't have the same.
Yeah, it just doesn't bring the same. And then, of course, you got me down in the Alamo, your unorthodox statistician, going left so much you thought I was southpaw. I do believe in Joe Hendry. I'm still picking OKC. I am 2-5. So do us a favor out there, y'all. Like, review, subscribe, share, rate, do all the free things. Do all the good things with a little bit of liquid death in your hand. So outside of the finals tonight, we're going to talk about small market teams. We're going to talk about NBA expansion. But let's take it right from the top. So, Mr. Logical. I was watching this game last night. You know what I'm saying? I was at the Wurzbach Ice House with Radical Jack. And we were sitting around and I said, yo, you know what the best two words in sports are? Game seven. But I don't want a game seven. I said, OKC is going to come out here. They're going to put their foot on Indiana's throat. And then after about the first quarter, I was the one choking.
I turned the game on because I was out and I finally got to a couch. And I turned the game on and the stat was on the screen. Indiana had started like 0-for-8. And then they were like 8 for their next 10, including like 3 or 4 threes or something like that. So that's when I turned the game on. And it looked different. And I would have, like, if I ever get a chance to, like, talk to an NBA player who played, like, big-time playoff basketball, just any kind of environment, especially with this current environment where the teams are putting people in the same color T-shirts, that's, you know, we're looking at 18,000 to 20,000 blue T-shirts, gold T-shirts. If you're in Miami, the white T-shirts. And I want to know, like, do you see that when your shot's not going in? Do you start to see that more? Because Chet Holmgren had an easy lob from Hartenstein. And his hands, like, when he went up, his hands were like this. Like, why are your hands ever this close?
Yeah, like, to he catch went a up basketball. Like, he went up and I was like, oh shit, it's Mark Andrews.
So it's like, are the colors from the shirts and like the moment all like kind of like just closing in on you? Because the fans sit very close at NBA games. It's very weird.
Well, they're NFL like games and stuff too,
and they're right on, like, they're literally right on top of the bench or right next to the bench, like NFL games. I sat in the second row at a Jets-Falcons game. I would have to yell to get a player's attention because they were just, like, huddled up, you know, 25 right. yards away from me. Right. NBA games, you're, like, literally spilling your beverages on the 12th dude on the bench's, you know, sneakers. So just watching the game, I had to get up this morning to take my son to Naval Academy for a football camp. And I had to leave here like 5:30. So luckily it was a blowout, because if it was like an intense game, I would have to like sit on the couch and like watch it. The game would have ended around midnight. If it was an intense game, then I got to drive home, get some sleep, wake up, wake him up, get down to Maryland. So luckily the game was pretty bad and I could leave at like 10 something to kind of like get home and get settled in for where I was at. It was a good game, and I was telling my son, because we were talking about it on the way back. I was like, there was one play where Siakam got the rebound, simple outlet to Halliburton on the left side, and then Halliburton threw like a full court chest pass to Shepherd running down the opposite sideline. He catches it one dribble layup. I was like, I don't think he even thinks to make that pass in OKC. But something about the role players being at home, being comfortable. Like when I saw that play, I was like, okay, this is a wrap. Because you could blow a 20-point lead in the NBA. A 7-0 run is quick. It's a layup, you miss a shot, a foul, miss another shot, you know, two free throws and a three. And now your 20-point lead's 13 and your team's calling a timeout. But when I saw plays like that happening, I saw TJ McConnell doing the same thing he's been doing, like getting his hand in passing lanes and the ball bouncing straight up on the sideline. Mm-hmm. Halliburton on that Siakam dunk, he got knocked down on the other end. And I was like, oh, that calf. You know, sometimes the guys, like, they have those injuries and they're all good if they're on their feet. But as soon as you knock them down, they got to, like, keep their balance. Like Embiid. Embiid was good in that New York series on his feet. But as soon as he hit the deck, it was like trying to pick a tree up to get him back up, to get him back up court. And I was like, you know, did Halliburton hurt himself more by falling? He gets up, gets back in the passing lane, gets a deflection, gets the ball, no-look pass, dunk. I was like, okay, this is nuts. And then I think Richard Jefferson was saying, like, hey, Mark Dagenau, like, when do you pull your starters? Like, you were down, they were down like 20, I think they were down 28 after that Shepherd layup, maybe, or something like that.
So for me, a couple statements, a couple questions. You kind of read my mind on where I was going to go. Because if, say, last night, you know, game six, say Indiana wins that series 4-2, TJ McConnell is my final MVP. You know, like, he literally won game three for them. You know, he did the thing last night. Now, granted, last night was more of a blowout, so it's hard to actually pinpoint one person because they all contributed. But the real key to last night was Pascal Siakam, but on defense, because he was the one that was cutting off J-Dub from getting to the basket at will like he was in game five. You know, yeah. But then when you look at that, I was talking about, hey, how come Mark Dagenault didn't have SGA and J-Dub screening off of each other? Yeah. You know, they kind of went stagnant again last night. You know, then you got, when I was at the Wurzbach Ice House, you know, I ran into this guy that was cheering for Indiana. And he said, hey, he didn't even know I had a podcast. He was just talking to me like, hey, what's the key tonight? And I said, yo, Obi Toppin. And you know what I mean? And that's the thing, is that you need a guy like Obi Toppin in today's NBA, because he's a lesser version of Cat, but he has the athleticism that Cat doesn't have.
Yeah, you can threaten you. He can threaten you in a fast break.
Right. So then
you have to get back to stop him if he's running the lane in the fast. Cat's right. Not going to rim run.
Right. So something else that you said, you talked about the role players. So let's look into that a little bit. OKC in this series, three games at home, three games on the road. The three games at OKC, they've hit 39 three-pointers. At Indiana, 21. You know, so that shows you your home court advantage right there and how it affects the role players. But I'm happy for game seven, because this is the 20th game seven in NBA Finals history. The home team, 15-4. And of course, you know, the last one was that 3-1.
Correct.
You know, that was the last seven game seven, you know. So, as I look at this, this is only the fourth game seven we've had in the NBA Finals in the last 30 years. So this is a moment. This is, as I like to say, this is an inflection point, because OKC has been the best team all season. 68 games they won on the season. Every game they've lost in the playoff, they've rebounded with a victory in the next game. So we are at the point now where I don't want to do the ring culture thing, but your season is on the line now, obviously. And I don't mean that from the standpoint of win or go home. I mean that because this one game, to a lot of people out there, is going to invalidate everything that you did this season. So on Sunday night, you need those fans to charge up. You know, you need your MVP to be the MVP. And now this is my last question before I hand it back to you, though.
All right.
So one of the biggest things that people talk about in NBA history is the Willis Reed moment. The thing that's different about this is that was game seven. So can Halliburton do it again?
Yeah, but a lot of people don't know that Willis Reed moment. I think he played like 6 minutes, had like 2 points, and then like left the court. Like the moment was him coming out of the tunnel. I think he had like 2 points that game or something like that. I remember hearing like one of the old head pundits talk about like, yeah, he had like 2 points that game. But the moment was enough to like galvanize right. people. I never thought that Halliburton wasn't going to play game six, mainly because it was like, he played, albeit not like very effective in game five. TJ McConnell got off and they had him on the floor at the same time. And I think he was running a bit like a decoy, but I was like, he was moving well. And I was thinking maybe they were thinking like, okay, this is more like a KD situation. And I was like, well, he hadn't been out that long. KD was out for like a month. So, but yeah, he came back, he did his thing. And when that high arching three drops, it's just easy money.
Mm-hmm. And then you had OKC in the first half, you know, and, you know, I know a lot of people don't always like to look at the stats, but obviously the stats tell a lot of a story, not the whole story. They're not the be all end all. They're just in addition to. So here's another stat, you know, before we wrap this one up, you know, at the end of the first half last night, Oklahoma City had 3 assists. That's not the stat. They had 3 assists and 12 turnovers. You know,
yeah, and I think everybody else besides J. Will and SGA had 11 or 12 points. Mm-hmm. There's something that, like you say, you mentioned TJ McConnell's the Finals MVP. I would give him an honorary vote. Like I think it's 9 voters. I think that if there's a 10th voter, it should be like, okay, this is the. He's been the glue guy, I think he's the MIP, most important, impactful, insightful. Like, I think he's had that role. But it's something about, they were talking about it last night, and say, well, when the defense comes down and he has the ball, everyone's setting up because they run the offense through him.
Right.
And I've watched him for 6 games take whatever guy was guarding him one-on-one coming up the court. So he gets across half court, 18 seconds on the shot clock. He takes a couple more dribbles. Everyone sets up, and then he just goes right at his guy. He takes him like at an angle, gets him into the paint, and then either gets under him or hits him with like a quick turnaround. He's done it. He's done it to, what's the boy named? Cason Wallace.
Cason Wallace,
He's done it to Wallace. He's done it to Wiggins. When they put 34 in the game and they had him on Siakam, they did the pick and roll. He's done it to Hartenstein. But the way he's done it is like, Hartenstein, I'm going to take you into the restricted area, and then I'm going to spin out and shoot the free throw line jumper. Everybody else, I'm taking it from one. Even with Chet, he's like, I have you on the right side of the rim. I'm going up right-handed, and I'm coming up, and I'm putting the layup. He's done the same exact thing. It's like, are y'all just going to keep letting him do it? Because all he does, and I'm like, so when he's doing it and like Nembhard gets the ball at the next possession, I'm like, just give it back to TJ.
And
then they'll go a few possessions, and then Carlisle like, time out. Like, man, just give it to TJ.
And I don't want to be disrespectful. And I don't want to be disrespectful because TJ McConnell's been around long before this OKC team showed up. You know what I mean? But he looks like an OKC player at times. Like, he looks like that you could just swap him and Alex Caruso and you wouldn't even know the difference. You know, he brings that element of the game to where, you know, they talk about beating people at their own game or, you know, here's a taste of your own medicine. That's what TJ McConnell provides for the Pacers in this series against OKC. So now we got Sunday, game 7. You switching?
I don't know. I'm reserving it to the end of the this show. I'll come up with something. Because, like, honestly, I don't think I've picked a game in the last few games. I just watched the game. Mm-hmm. I wished it was a game 7. I was glad there was a game 7. I didn't predict they'd be down 30 points going into the fourth.
Right.
But, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, I'm sticking with OKC. You know, like I said, their building is just electric. You know what I mean? Like, just that on the line. Now, don't get me wrong. The pressure is all up OKC's butt. The pressure is there. Pause. You know what I mean? It's up to them to finish off this magical season, to do what Durant, Westbrook, and Harden couldn't. This is OKC's task. So, you know, it all starts with, and Mr. Logical brought this up a lot last year when the Knicks and the Sixers were playing in the first round. You know, why aren't you attacking Joel Embiid? He can barely walk. He can barely stand. Go at him. If Halliburton has this injured calf or whatever it is, make him play defense. Force the issue. Make him show that he can go lateral, you know, and that's how you win the game, because they have to help. They leave somebody open. So I'm looking for OKC, but it would be so fitting. It would be so fitting for OKC to jump out by 17 or 18 and it come down to a Halliburton shot. It would be so fitting. You know, so as we look,
would that make him the most clutch player in the playoffs this year? I know, I'm just poking bears.
It would. But you know, but speaking of this series, you know, it's been a great series, even though last night was a blowout. You know, it's been a great series. I've enjoyed the basketball. Like, this is one of those series, and these are the teams that if Naismith was looking at them right now, he would think we were watching aliens with the way that they move the ball and how fast they are and all that. So why is it that nobody's watching?
Is it nobody's watching, or we are having a lot of conversations about nobody's watching?
Both.
Because I'm not a big ratings guy, mainly because any app that you're using to watch the game, you're probably sharing with somebody. Uh-huh. Like, your YouTube TV on your TV is your boy that came over during football season. He's like, oh, man, don't buy it. I get it free with my job cell phone plan. Here's YouTube TV. It's on your TV. Like, I had a 10-day free trial to watch the conference finals on YouTube TV canceled because it was like $82 a month. And then if you're using the laptop, you can use some of these other sites. We're not promoting it because they're not getting this, giving us any money. So it's like, we're not promoting it. But you can watch it on the laptop. You can watch it at a bar. You can watch it at a friend's house. I think more people are watching it. I just feel as if the pundits who are talking about sports on television, they talk about what they like, and it comes off as what they know. Like, I can talk about the Falcons during the season pretty in depth because I watch all the Falcons games. I watch the other games on TV, but I might not watch Bears versus Vikings if it's not on TV. So if we had to break down, you know, on Tuesday, what happened over the weekend, I'm going to give you everything I saw in the Atlanta game. The 3rd and 8 in the third quarter when Kyle Pitts was open, and he could, like, I have all that broken down to make it seem like, oh, this guy knows exactly what he's talking about when it comes to football. Like, no, I know what I'm talking about when I come to the Falcons because that's what I watch. I think a lot of these pundits don't watch these other teams, the Indianas, OKCs, Detroits. And so when it comes to the finals, they're surprised at how well Shepard can defend on the perimeter. They're surprised at Mathurin's ability to score 20 points in 12 minutes because they haven't watched him at all year. So everything is like brand new. And we've had this conversation with people in our group saying like, oh, it's not enough popular names. It's like, it's a popular sport brand. We all like basketball shoes. But there were so many shows where they had segments, and I saw clips of people talking about LeBron's statements over the last couple of weeks. He said like a couple of things. Like, I saw one last week and he was talking about the fouls. That was all over like my social media page. And then the ring culture conversation that he broached with Steve Nash, everyone was like so animated about this conversation. I'm like, yo, he's having a conversation with the fellow former NBA player drinking wine, and you guys have more passion about that than the great 6 basketball games we saw. Even this blowout was great because you had Halliburton, the guy whose rumors he was going to be ruled out. You had a guy like T.J. McConnell, a journeyman that's really doing his thing.
Don't forget, Halliburton was voted the most overrated player.
Halliburton most overrated. I think it's because I think he's getting the Drake treatment from the league. I think they just view him as like a corny light skinned guy. But I really I think he's just a happy guy. And I think these two teams are really on. I think they really like being around each other. And there's no animosity. There's no beef with no one's trying to get Carlisle fired. It's just, what we talked about, like, you know, the Lakers every week, it was like, is JJ going to get fired? How long is this going to last? Is LeBron interviewing his new coach? It's like, but there's no animosity with these teams. So we got to find something to be angry about. And we're just angry that their two towns combined for like 4 million people.
Well, to your Halliburton point, I think it goes back to last year and some of the things that we talked about where leading up to the NBA Cup and through the NBA Cup, because they made it to the finals, I believe, I think they made it to the finals last year.
I think they played the Lakers, right?
Yeah. And, you know, so he put his name on the map during that tournament, but then he got hurt. And we were talking about how he rushed back because his Supermax, you know, was on the table.
He needed to get that 65 games under his belt.
So then he came back hurt, playing like trash because he wasn't 100%. And then a lot of people, especially like Trae Young fans, Jalen Brunson fans, they were going off about like, I thought this was the guy. You know what I mean? And now this season, it's like, well, look at where he is and look at where those two are. You know, but on top of that, I think so like last year, NBA Finals was 5 games, and Game 5 was a blowout.
Correct. But
Game 5,
and it was never in doubt.
Right. But from Game 5 last year to this year, down 25%. You know, the finals itself as a whole, down 19% this year. So I imagine that some of the things that you brought up, like the streaming and the free trials and all that, that stuff was around last year too. You know what I mean? But what we had last year,
it's just because you had a big city. I don't know what the population of Boston is. Right, that's what I was
about to say. What we had last
year, Boston fans are everywhere. So,
well, they're a blue blood. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. They have the most championships in the league. Dallas is a top 7 city population wise.
Their guy was supposed to be there. He tore an Achilles, and you know, it's been a wrap. So I can understand that if you are a Boston fan and you are a Knicks fan, like that large group of people kind of pulling out because you thought your team was going to be there. They were one of the best teams in the East, defending champs. And then the Knicks fans were just on the verge of making the NBA finals, and you fall out. But if you're a basketball fan, I don't want to hear the small market piece as like your reason why you're not watching. Like, if you're a basketball fan, because let's keep it 100%. Cleveland is a small market.
Well, to your point,
and we watched every single one of the, like, those early 7 years with LeBron struggling and getting to the Eastern Conference Finals, to the finals, and then those 4 years after Miami, we watched all of that. Golden State is not a big basketball market. It just became that after Mark Jackson got these guys lined up properly.
But think about it. To your point, there's some parallels here. Like, you know, we talk with Residente a lot about how March Madness, you know, I don't know these guys, the NBA draft, who are these guys? So you got that in the NBA to a lesser degree. What do I mean by that? Stand by. Here we go. So, like, for example, this season, you got the Detroit Pistons, right? They made the playoffs. They were one of the big stories. They got a guy, Cade Cunningham, right? And they didn't even have 20 national games this year. You know what I mean? Then you got the Houston Rockets, right? The number 2 seed in the West. Now obviously,
fast, exciting team.
Right. Now, obviously, what I'm about to say predates them being the 2 seed. But to your point about, you know, this young team, they got Ime Udoka as the head. They had 11 national games. You had the Orlando Magic, who made the playoffs 2 straight years. You know, so I'm not saying that they're a great team or anything, but they're a team that has been in the postseason. They got 9 national games this year. So when you get to the
national games, are you talking about like TNT?
This is like your ESPN, TNT, you know, and NBA TV. And you know what I mean? So when you break it down like that, when Orlando gets to the playoffs, you know, and plays Boston in the first round, it's truly a lot of people's first time laying eyes on Paolo Banchero. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like when you look at the Pistons, right? I'm sure people have heard the name Cade Cunningham before. You know what I mean? But this is your first time laying eyes on Cade Cunningham.
And And the thing about it, Cade Cunningham was a 6'7", 6'8" point guard with size.
Yes.
Like, Magic Johnson was a 6'9" point guard with size. Granted, he had a lot of flair. And then you had Larry Bird, a 6'8" shooter, 6'8", 6'9" shooter. It was like, these two guys were anomalies when they were drafted. Right. You had the whole, and the NBA took that and was like, oh, let's run with that. I'm like, that's the same thing you have with guys like Cade Cunningham. That's the same thing you have, like Houston. Houston has a bunch of just runners on their team.
I mean, Jalen Green should be on the number two draft pick.
Number two draft
pick. And Amen Thompson went number four.
So it's like you have two top five draft picks, young, exciting. You need to sell more jerseys because what's happening, and it kind of like lending into like a, because I wasn't part of like a lot of these conversations about the ring culture. But what I was thinking about this morning, I was just like, I think we have seen all of the legends of our sport. And what I mean by that is like, I think the money's going to be so good. Like starting like the last few years, like we have guys like, I think
like Jalen Brown,
Jalen Brown's getting like 50 something million, Cat's getting 50 million. I think you're going to get guys like Jokic, whenever his deal is done, he's going to be like, that's it. So if it's 12 years in the NBA, 13, it's a wrap. SGA's deal is going to be like 358 million. I don't think you're going to get a lot of guys. They're going to play 16, 17, 18 years with one team, mainly because you're not going to be able to pay all these guys. So guys are going to start moving. It's going to be these new guys coming up. But as far as like cracking that top 20, I think that top 20 is pretty set with the few people who have someone from 21 to 30 that they feel should be in it, but it's locked in.
Like, see, some of that,
the LeBron legends, the Steph legends, KD to some degree. I think it's over. It's not a knock on these current players, but that iconic status that we're going to talk about.
The incentive isn't there because you already got paid.
With the grainy video. Like, if you think about the first NBA 2K that Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, and, like, LeBron, all those guys were in, it's crazy compared to now. And I think it's just going to stop. And the NBA is going to be in a situation where they're just going to have to just expand as we, you know, transition that. They're going to have to expand all over the world just to bring in like an excess amount of dollars because they're not promoting the guys stateside.
And see, and back to the TV argument for a quick second. So the Lakers had the most national TV games. That makes sense because they're the Lakers and you need to fill West Coast time slots. So that makes sense. But real quick, what do you think that number is? How many national games did they get?
So they have 82 games. If I had to guess, thought I heard the number and it had a 4 in it. I can't remember if it was 34 or 44.
It's 39. 39,
okay.
So that's right, the most in the league. That's the most. Golden State, 36. Boston and New York, 34. Dallas and Phoenix, 30. Philadelphia, for some reason, and I mean, granted, Embiid is a former MVP and everything.
Philadelphia, Embiid, Paul George, Maxi, Philly loves basketball.
Yeah, OKC, right? OKC, they were a trendy pick to get to the finals or, you know, to make noise this year. They ended up winning 68 games. They had 25 national games. So it's one of those things where the NBA, I think, needs to change their approach. Because if you're not going to put these teams on TV, you have to put the players on TV. Because the NBA has become, or it always has been, player centric. You know, it was never the Bulls versus.
They don't wear hats. They don't wear helmets. Right. They are the
easiest, you know what?
Easiest people in sports to market.
Put SGA on The View. You know what I'm saying? You already had Jalen Brunson and Halliburton show up to SmackDown. You know what I mean? Have these guys hang out. And Residente brought this up yesterday. Hang out with Cassanet. You know, hang out with, you know, your Drewskis and your people like that.
I just show speed and all these other guys. Yeah.
And also,
just make sure it's regular to have like an NBA person like, yo, you can't be having like, you know,
wow shit going on. Don't be
smoking, no random strippers and stuff like that. We're still trying to
get these faces out there because there's only a few NBA players that really have commercials, even.
You know what I mean? The thing about it, like I brought this up before, SGA has a Skims deal because Skims has a deal with, you know, the NBA.
Right.
That's Kim Kardashian's brand. her family has like billions of followers. Like between just her, me, Kylie, Kendall, Chloe, and Kim, like over a billion people follow the four of them.
Is it just me?
SGA's not in their show or in they're not courtside at his games or doing Skims commercials. Is it just me?
And I apologize in advance if they have already done this because I wouldn't know. But I'm like, if you're going to talk about the Kardashians, who better to pair up with the Kardashians than Melo Ball? You know what I mean? Like, have some LaVar Ball interaction with the Kardashians. Have LaMelo and Lonzo. Like, it writes itself. You know what I mean? But anyway, you know, so as we look at that, right? If I'm the Detroit Pistons, you know what I mean? And the Detroit Pistons, you know, going back to the 80s, they were one of the franchises of that decade. You know what I mean? And then they won that title with Ben Wallace and those guys back in 2004. Hall of Fame Chauncey Billups. You know, they won their 2004 title. They went back to the finals against the Spurs, and then it's just the Pistons disappeared. You know what I mean? And so, I don't know, especially in this age, and I think what the NBA is saying is we got league pass. You know, we got this. If you want to watch the Pistons, you go watch the Pistons. The part that they're missing is you got to give me a reason to watch the Pistons.
That's the thing. You got to – something I think about this, I've seen a lot of plays like rebounds, and I'll see a kick out to Nembhard, and I'll see him look up like, do I throw this rim run pass? But it's the finals. You can't waste a possession. I think in a regular season, you try that. So a game, let's say Atlanta versus Detroit, where the casual fan doesn't feel as that much star power other than just like Trae Young. Cade Cunningham is a good player. Bickerstaff's a great coach. They have a good team. They're building a good core. But like, once again, their personalities aren't out there. So you're just looking like, if you're not a basketball aficionado, you're not going to understand like why he's a good basketball player. So that a sequence where it's a lot of outlet passes and like, you know, possessions and they could look sloppy, and you don't have a star, you could turn people off of the game. But you still got to do it.
And you can still get your fix. You want to have the Lakers and the Warriors on TV? Fine. Just have them play Orlando and Detroit once or twice. You know what I mean? Like, you could get the best of both worlds. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Now Lakers-Detroit in L.A. should be your game. I don't need Golden State L.A. for my West Coast game. I'm already... As a Chinese fan, he knows Steph Curry. She knows Steph Curry. They all know LeBron. Get LeBron on the court with whoever's playing important, Scoot Henderson, whatever the case may be, in L.A. Make it a big deal. Talk about it all week. Highlight the Portland players. The L.A. players are going to get so much social media buzz has nothing to do with the NBA. Just their fan pages. Like I said, the Kardashians are, you know, connected to them through relationships or money and agencies and so forth and so on, and sitting courtside. Their Instagram following is 1.6 billion, just them. So they're going to have their pictures courtside, entice them to come to that game. Because a lot of times, I remember I was watching Entourage. Mm-hmm. They were like Jeremy Piven's character was trying to bribe someone, like someone he needed a favor from someone. He's trying to bribe him with Lakers tickets. He was like, who are they playing? He was like, the Wizards. He goes, but like even in like the TV shows, like they didn't want like the fictional characters didn't want to watch Lakers versus Wizards. Give us a reason, highlight them, promote the Wizards players. Because like I said, the Lakers is going to sell itself.
Oh, I bet you Cooper Flagg going to be all over TV next year.
Because his name, image, and likeness. That's why I think it shouldn't be capped. I mean, he made like $28 million, but he's been balling. He's been on the radar of basketball fans and casual fans via social media for a couple of years. Like I said, overtime, these elites, all these other social media channels, NBA, connect with them. We talk about the slam dunk contest. Connect with the people who are playing basketball in the States. I feel like everybody just kind of forgotten that America is like the epicenter for these sports, and everybody wants to go global. I'm like, no, cater to the people here. Cater to the fan that's going to buy the jersey and buy the hats and come to the games and tailgate and pay, you know, $75 to sit in the arena and watch the game on the Jumbotron. Like, that fan needs to be catered to. I get it. You want the dude in Brazil to buy jerseys too, but I'm like, yo, the dude in Oklahoma wants to buy jerseys. Cater to him.
Well, speaking of which, you know, Mark Spears last night, you know, made the statement that a high-level NBA official told him that the expansion announcement may be coming this summer. And guess what? Summer started today. We got the NBA draft on Wednesday and Thursday. So, like, what better time to roll that announcement out, you know, during the draft or after, you know, in the mix of the draft. So with that being said, I think the worst kept secret is Seattle and Las Vegas. You know what I mean? But you and I both know it's
32 teams.
Yes. But especially going off of what you just said before I switched topics, we know they're going international again at some point, you know? So from a certain standpoint, I don't think it's very logistically feasible to have European teams. You know what I mean? But I know there has been talk of a European league to offset. So maybe that becomes, there you go. Maybe that becomes your new farm system, like the way the baseball has the minor leagues. Maybe you have your European buildup and that kind of supplies, because we're starting to see these international players take over the draft. You know, there's going to be about three or four of them in the first round this year that is not including the international dudes that played in college. So I'm talking about dudes that are in France right now and so on and so forth. So where do you see expansion beyond the Seattle, Las Vegas?
I mean, back to Vancouver. Like, it would have to be Canada.
I was thinking Montreal.
It would have to be like Canada. It has to be in these time zones.
Well, you know, Mexico.
Like, I'm not thinking like Hawaii would.
And you shot me down. You know what I mean? Even though
I don't like Mexico.
They got a G League team.
I don't like Mexico City because I am a true blue blood American through and through. And I think there's plenty of places here where you can put basketball teams.
Like where?
You could go, well, here being like North America.
No, I know what you mean, but I'm just saying, what do you have in mind?
I think Seattle would be a great place. I mean, like, not really a great place, but it's not a great place. It's a place, if you're going to expand, you would have to do something drastic. Hey, you'd have to take a star from somebody's team. So you would have to you'd have to be like, hey, Boston, we get it, but we need Jaylen Brown to be the first pick
of the Supersonics.
Of the Seattle Supersonics. Like, hey, OKC, part of your legacy, we need J-Dub or Chet. They can't just give them a bunch of G League guys, put them out west, and then put them on at 10 o'clock and no one watches. They're going to have to give up Ivy,
they have to pull Cunningham, or something deal. Like that.
They're gonna have to like legit, you know, say, hey, you gotta every team has to put up, you can protect two guys.
Yeah.
Everybody else has to be available within reason.
So
Vegas, I think Vegas would be a good spot.
Was the Luka trade $10 billion for Cooper Flag?
Yeah, it's crazy how the money goes. Like I said, I'm still gobsmacked over the Luka deal.
Well, that was a question that I was going to ask you.
But Montreal, I think it's places like I just think that the games, getting people to the games and getting organic fans to the game, it's the NBA is like an American league. You can have a South American or Central American NBA league and have them play games in that region. Same way you can have it in South America.
How do you think the Lakers sale? We're not going to talk about the Lakers, but how do you think the Lakers sale impacts this expansion? Or does it?
I don't think it does, because no one in their right mind would do anything but leave the Lakers in those same colors in that same arena with the same banners and the same legacy and their same legends coming back to the game.
Well, I'm just meaning as far as the new teams coming into the league, though. Like, does that just hike up their valuation?
I don't think so. I think the Lakers $10 billion is probably because you can sell a Laker jersey anywhere in the world. Like, the property that all the Lakers buildings are on, in offices and office buildings attached to the team, or in LA, that real estate is crazy. I think that's more associated with all of the accoutrement that comes with being the Lakers. You're not going to sell the Houston Rockets for $10 billion. You might get five. Mm-hmm. There's some change, but you probably won't sell them for 10, because it's like, the real estate doesn't match up. I think that's a lot of the pieces. Like, most of these hedge fund guys, whoever manages this money, they're just buying. It's the same thing. I saw a video, they're talking about Vegas. Most of the casinos are kind of run by, like, New York City hedge funds who bought the property as just another thing to just create money for this hedge fund. Mm-hmm. The expansion, like I said, the problem with the expansion is, like, it's like, yo, you got kids already. You ain't taking care of them. You want to have more? And that's the problem. So you have to.
Baby still wearing hand-me-downs.
Yeah, the city has to be either a tourist destination or just a dope city that people love off the rip.
And see, and that's why I like Montreal. They also have the Bell Center that is already ready for NBA basketball if necessary. You do have the language barrier, because I know that Montreal, you know, is of the French background, you know, so that could cause some issues initially, but we're in a technological.
Toronto advantage. Blue Jays and the Raptors are playing their games. They figured it out. So, yeah. Edmonton so like Oilers them. Are playing.
I do like Mexico City because, like I said, they already have a G League team. It's a bigger market than New York City. So, you know, whatever, you know, value you get from New York City, you're probably not going to get from Mexico City just because it's not a part of the United States, but it is a bigger market than New York. So there has to be some value there.
Yeah, but are you going to get a bunch of fans? Like, because the ratings are pretty much an American-based system.
Right.
A team in Mexico City, who's what region of America is the Mexico City Matadors, like, where's their fan base? It's only, like, in Mexico?
Well, you got to build that, you know what I mean? Just like when you talk about Las Vegas, right? Like, we see it with the Raiders already. You know, like, their home games are not home games. You know what I mean?
It's a lot of people who build Vegas trips so this into Las Vegas football
team,
games. Yeah.
So this Las Vegas team that's sitting in the 40th biggest market in the country, small market, if you will, you know what I'm saying? It's going to be transplants in non-Vegas citizens for the most part.
Yeah, but that arena, 18,000 people to fill an arena, especially with the way you buy tickets in Vegas. Because when you get to Vegas is when you, like, you can make a couple of plans ahead of time. Like, oh, I want to see this show. Like, I just went out to Vegas, saw Coldplay. Saw them at the football stadium. Now, I've been to the Eagle Stadium twice. I've been to the Raiders Stadium, and I haven't seen the Eagles or the Raiders play football. I've seen Pink, Beyonce, and Coldplay. So I have a sports podcast, but I've seen a lot of great shows at football stadiums. And then after that, it was like, okay, we booked the show. I booked the Cirque du Soleil show, and then went to San Ventriloquist. So when you're in Vegas, you just look up the deals. So if you only have to sell out 18,000 seats and people are there all week long, like, we were out on a Monday night in Vegas last week, and it felt like a prime Thursday night. Like, it felt like the weekend was ramping up, because, like, people come to Vegas Sunday through Thursday because the hotel's a little cheaper. So you'll be able to sell out with just casual basketball fans, especially if, you know, you get the right deal. Like, if you can, you know, a couple hundred bucks for a ticket, like, I'll check out I'll check out a game on a Tuesday night since I'm here for this convention.
Yeah, I mean, the NHL team is doing Thursday. Well.
But you need a city that has, like, that kind of touristy influx already. Vegas is, like, just – it's a different kind of city where you can just essentially bank on filling whatever arena you're trying to fill if you can get the other prices right. Like, if you can get the hotel prices down and you kind of balance that out, you can fill – the A stadium, you could fill the arena, you could fill the football stadium.
So
we talked about, what was it? Another, like, was it South Carolina? You had an idea for another team in North Carolina. We were talking about this. So that was baseball.
Yeah, that was baseball. Okay, I was talking about Charlotte. I know Residente brought up Charleston, but, you know, I don't know how that works logistically. I don't know much about Charleston, to be honest. But I was thinking maybe
– I just know people love it. The people who live there love it, the people who visit love it, and the people who moved away always want to move back.
Well, I was thinking, you know, do you get some Kansas City / St. Louis involvement? I know you got Mahomes has his thing with the Royals. You know, obviously he plays for the Chiefs.
The soccer teams, that stadium's getting World Cup games.
KC, yeah. You got them, you know, to a much, 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 much smaller degree. You know, you got cities like Louisville who don't sound like destinations, but when you're talking about basketball, they're basketball havens, you know.
Can you put a basketball team in Cincinnati?
You could. There was one before, and that's the problem is that a lot of these cities.
It's right there in that basketball, that Indiana, Ohio, Kentucky region. They love basketball. Like,
right.
People don't know much. Like, if you travel around the country, like being in the military, you learn about people, and especially like I was playing intramural basketball. This one cop I knew, his name was Binion. He's from Ohio, and he was talking about, like, you know, we're in the gym just on our day off. And he was just shooting the lights out. I'm like, okay, Binion, it's a goofy-ass dude, can't fix his collar on his shirt when we go out, put a basketball in his hand, and he's out there like Hoosier just knocking it down. And he was like, we used to play the black schools, and they would cross us up, and we would fall. But he was like, they couldn't beat this bounce pass, this chest pass, this three-point shot. He's like, we'd win the game 65-40. They get a lot of ooze, but, like, that region, like, that Ohio, Indiana, Kentucky region, they really like basketball.
Cincinnati has
sometimes you got to cater to that fan. Stop trying to get the whole world to love you. Well, get the people around you to love you. Like, bring the Midwest back into sports. It seems like they're trying to relegate the Midwest out of sports and move teams out of the Midwest. Now, like, this is a sports town. A lot of your great football players are from this region: Ohio, Pennsylvania, Nebraska. That's like the heart. Beat of America is like
well Cincinnati has the cachet because they have other sports teams, you know, like the Reds and the Bengals. But I've always said that, you know, Columbus could be a prime spot because it's one of the fastest growing cities in the country. It's the capital of Ohio, but Cincinnati is closer to that Kentucky region that you're talking about. Like, Cincinnati basically spills into Kentucky.
Yeah, and you can fly into Kentucky and drive into Cincinnati. Like,
yeah, and then you have another.
I've been there. It's a dope city.
Yeah, another place that I was thinking about. So I brought up Kansas City and St. Louis, one of the two at least. You know, that sounds good to me. You know, as I was trying to think, and I don't know if we want another team in Florida, but just looking at population and where it is located within the state, I was thinking, why not Jacksonville? You know, they're right on that Alabama border. Like, well, not on the border,
opposite side of Orlando, right?
Well, it's up north. It's up Georgia. You know what I mean? Like, because remember the Gators in Georgia play there every year.
So, okay, that's the halfway point.
Yeah. So it doesn't infringe on your Miami and Orlando because they're all the way at the bottom of the state. So I think there's enough between the cities that
what number would you want? Two teams, four teams?
As far as expansion?
Your expansion. Like, would you add two more teams? Because we say me and you've been kicking around the Seattle, Las Vegas idea for years. I'm pretty sure NBA has as well.
So for me, just because, you know, I like everything being equal, I guess. I would say 36 because then you have the every division has the same amount of teams. Okay. You know, with 36, but I don't like 36 because I feel like that's way too much. Because
you would have to pull, like, so
you would just water it down.
If we call Seattle good, if we call Seattle and Vegas,
yeah, and Seattle's good, the 12th biggest market in the country,
and then we go Montreal, and you said Jacksonville, Cincinnati,
St. Louis, or St. Louis, Kansas like City, the, whichever St. one. St. Louis,
Kansas City. So I would say Kansas City because of the football and the World Cup stuff. That's gonna the, Royals, the World Cup. Yeah. The World Cup is gonna the World Cup. Gaming expectation is gonna drive money to Kansas City. So figuring out how to get a stadium built for basketball with that influx
and
money
I know Mahomes
in,
has brought up himself that he wants to help try to bring basketball to Kansas City. You know so what I mean? But I'm a bigger fan of your idea from last week. You know what I mean? New Orleans moves to Vegas and, you know, somebody else moves to Seattle versus actually expanding.
Yeah, because like I said, the expanding would work because there's so, like I said, there's so many teams that are only playing seven guys and you could probably pull like a guy like Mathurin. If he was on Denver, I don't think he's in the rotation.
Okay.
You know, like, because one of the comments last night that Doris Burke said, it's not surprising that the two deepest teams in the league are
in the finals.
In the finals. Whereas I think a lot of teams just have guys on the bench that might have real talent. Like, I talk about this guy, Cam Thomas. Could you put him in the Vegas Spades jersey and let him just catch fire? That's the only name I can come up with. The Vegas, I mean, you can't do Aces. We can do Vegas Hearts.
I know, it just
Hearts.
Sounds racist, man.
It is. It's definitely full on. Like, it's full on. It'd be like the new.
Could you do the Las Vegas Gamblers?
I mean, I would. I know the NBA is good with gambling, but I don't think they would want like dudes wearing it, like wearing dice on their uniforms.
Yeah.
I mean, you call it Vegas Vipers or something. Maybe it's like a snake out there they can name it after. But yeah. I think you could do that. Six is a lot.
It is, but I think
especially because they're trying to like shorten the game and shorten the season. I think expansion is, as a concept, makes sense if I felt the NBA was like growing. But I think the NBA is kind of at its, I think they're stretched as far as they can go.
But I think the NBA is growing. It's just international. You know what I mean? But
that's what I mean. Like, I don't think Spain would care if we added six more United States.
Because, like, you know, you have NBA Africa, but you're not. You're not having a team in Angola.
Yeah. Have Europe has so many levels and so many leagues. The NBA probably doesn't need an NBA Europe.
Right.
Like NBA Africa, NBA South Africa, NBA China. Like, if you want to, I want to say, infringe upon these other leagues or merge and make deals with these other leagues. Yeah. But I want to sound like this, like, super American, but like, leave it over there. And allow like the American development, because what's happening is like we aren't showcasing the young American talent enough to the point where those guys are going to China to play.
But I would argue that's more of a proponent of the AAU system than anything else.
I would get down to the AAU system, and you already have a farm system. It just needs to be, you know, curated a little better. So can associate yourself with, because if you want to get fans in the United States on board with the NBA, do things from a grassroots perspective. Like, the foundation of the NBA is your homegrown American stars.
I think that we're getting that, because remember we were talking about the draft, and, you know, we're going to do our draft preview and all that on Tuesday. But we were talking about the NBA draft from the standpoint of with the NIL now. Guys are going to be going back to school. And, you know, so some of these underclassmen that are 18, 19 years old.
Adam Silver needs to be at college games. He needs to be at AAU tournaments. They need to sanction
NBA. Go to a G League game.
Go to it needs to be head coaches from the NBA. Case in point. Today, my son went to the Naval Academy football camp. The head coach of the Naval, Naval
team Brian was Newberry.
Leading the, he opened the camp. It wasn't like he just came out, popped up, and then went back in the office. He was leading the camp. Every coach came up and introduced himself. There was coaches from other schools as well. And when they broke off in different groups, he was talking to different recruits. They had some guys they brought in. But the whole coaching staff all played a vital role. So the organization was there. The structure was there. So if you are an NBA team and you have G League teams and you have NBA Europe and you have AAU program, that seems to be a bit discombobulated. Send your people down there. Send your scouts. Send your even the ESPN people. Get it on TV to where it's like, hey, we need a better product. Like when they started putting the high school football on ESPN. And we heard about guys like Tate Martell, and that's, we started seeing guys like Travis Hunter recently. And then back in the day, Terrell Pryor. When they started putting an emphasis, man, you got high school games. Granted, they did it with LeBron, but he was a phenom. But it was okay, cool. Let's put more Oak Hill versus Mount Verde on TV and look at how it's worked out. Just keep doing that. They don't need all these other grand ideas. It's you have enough people playing basketball year round in this country every single day, playing their hearts out. It's this is where your talent pool is.
Mm-hmm. Word for sure. So, yeah. I also think that,
a real patriot over here about the
America first,
grab my flag,
it's an America first, damn it. But also, like you said, it goes back to connections and networking to some degree, where, these college teams have relationships with NBA scouts because, I'm sure scouts stay at Kentucky. They stay at Duke. They stay at Kansas, So yes, there is a bit of a grassroots element there. The problem is that college basketball and the NBA just seem to be at odds most of the time, when it comes to stuff like the one and done and all that kind of stuff, I think that expansion can be good because of the two cities that are going to be added, if that is what ends up happening. But from there, it's okay. What do you do now? Because like I said, the divisions are going to be uneven. You're not contracting. So you got to fill it in some way, somehow. And you still got to move a team over to the East as well. Since you're bringing it, if those are the two teams, because you're bringing in the two Western teams. So now you got to figure out, am I moving Minnesota? Am I moving Memphis? Am I moving New Orleans?
Memphis and Minnesota or New Orleans and Memphis. No, if I get Seattle and Vegas.
Yeah, you only need to move one.
No, Seattle and Vegas will be in the West.
That would be 16 teams. And then you move one to the East to have 16 teams in the East.
I'm adding two teams to the West. I'm not talking about moving New Orleans to Vegas. I'm talking about two new teams.
Yes. Right now, there are 15 teams in each conference. So if you bring two in, that brings it to 17. It'll be 17 over here, 15 over here. So you move the one over. Yeah. So you just got to decide, is it going to be Memphis? Is it going to be Minnesota?
Do you like the Ant Edwards and Golden State OKC matchups every year, or do you want Ja Morant? If Memphis is going to rebuild, I'd move them to the East have them on at 7:30 or 8 o'clock.
If I'm looking at it from a futuristic, or I'm sorry, if I'm looking at it from a short term standpoint, I want Minnesota in the East, and I guess they're already Eastern time zone anyway.
Let me see where they are.
But anyway, the point being, I can get Anthony Edwards.
Where the hell Minnesota is on the map?
Well, it's right next to North Dakota and Wisconsin and Michigan, on top of Illinois and Iowa. But Nebraska's in that area too. But I would think that I want Anthony Edwards in the East, just from the standpoint of playing him against more Eastern markets. So you were talking about
Memphis is. Memphis is more east than Minnesota.
It's pretty west, relatively speaking.
It's more east. It's more east of Minnesota.
Yeah,
Minneapolis.
But,
yeah,
but I think I would. But I think I would like to.
Ant Edwards. See, that's the thing. Ant Edwards is already box office, so you can have him anywhere.
No, that's true. But I could also.
So I would leave him west just to keep that 10 o'clock game against Portland on TV.
No, you're correct. You're correct. But my thought is. I could have him against the Knicks four times a season instead of two. You know what I mean? I could have him. You talked about, Chicago's the third biggest city in the country. You know, I could put Anthony Edwards against Chicago a couple times a year. And that gets
maybe they change that. Maybe you don't need expansion. Maybe you need to like loosen up how many conference games you play. Like if you're trying to sell it, it's like, you know what? Because, like I said, the Lakers and the rising NBA Lakers, Celtics, Bird, Magic, they were playing an astronomical amount of games against each other for two teams that are like 3,500 miles apart. It's just like, we got to get this on TV. But yeah, like I said, Memphis is just west of Chicago, but it's still more east of Minneapolis. I like Memphis because I think Memphis might have to rebuild. So okay. I would rather have them on the east where I can keep them on TV. Where like we can start their games at 7:30 and people can still watch them because they still have a buzz. I mean, if they trade with other players, it might be different, but maybe they get some assets back, but they still have good enough buzz. That's, having them play against the Knicks or having them play against, granted, Memphis versus Charlotte might not be a big draw, but I think Ant's going to be a great draw no matter what. And I would rather I'd rather him feed my West Coast. Memphis versus or Minneapolis versus Phoenix next year, when Phoenix depletes their team, it's still going to be box office because
Ant's going to go out there and try to get 15. Remember all season, I've been talking about, trade Young for Ja Morant. You got a rivalry. Like, just have them play each other. You know what I mean? Like, just have them. They can stay where they at. Just have them play each other.
Yeah.
And now you got Atlanta against Memphis as a big deal. You know what I mean?
Big game
South. And that's the thing.
Two flashy guys, small guards, really out there just doing things differently. The NBA needs
to capitalize on whenever Trae Young plays the Knicks, it needs to be on TV.
Has to be on TV. You know
what I'm saying? OKC, Minnesota. You got to treat that like the Lakers and the Warriors when they play each other. Because I swear every Warrior game
is on TV. And then they show the replay. And then they talk about it for 2 days before and 2 days after. Yeah,
right. So that's another part of like not to get back into the promotion conversation, but that's another part of how you can grow the game too. Because that's what the NFL thrives off of. Now free agency has made it a little bit differently, but it's still Commanders, Cowboys. You know, it's still. Steelers and Ravens, you know, it's still Broncos and Chiefs,
Saints, Falcons, no matter what records can be,
even if Mr. Logical doesn't think that they really a rival, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, you know,
it's for some reason it always seems to matter in the regular season.
Right. So that's where the NBA can help themselves as well. And with expansion, you know, because you got, I guess you'll put Vegas in the division, you know, with the Lakers in the Pacific and everything. And then you'll put Seattle up there with Portland and Denver up in the, I forgot what the division is called.
It's Northwest?
The Northwest or something like that. Yeah. You could have that going on. You know what I mean? So, like, you have the bones and structure of what you need to do. It just has to be implemented and enforced.
Yeah, but I think the promotion should be the primary move with relocation of a couple of teams out of markets that just aren't fully taking advantage of them. And then you do your expansion.
Right. But so we'll see. You know, like I said, hopefully during the draft, they make the announcement official. And then, you know, saying we just go from there. But speaking of the draft, ladies and gentlemen, we will be back on Tuesday. The day before the draft, you know, said I already been in the lab getting my notes together. You know, saying I still love Ace Bailey, even though he hasn't worked out for anybody. What the hell is that? You know what I'm saying? But we'll get into that on Tuesday. But y'all have a good weekend. Game 7 on Sunday. Enjoy it. We love you. Do not bring feelings to a fat fight.
Don't do it.
He is the world-renowned, the world-famous, the one and only Mr. Logic. And I am your unorthodox statistician 2-5. We got liquid deaths in our hand. So all we're asking you to do is like, review, subscribe, rate, share. It's free. Do the free things. Hop on the good foot and do the good thing.
Good thing.
You know what I'm saying? We be back. We love you. Peace.